So what does it really mean to be an adult? Is it just, you know, hitting a certain age?
Or getting the job, paying the bills, maybe finally managing that flat pack furniture assembly without tears.
Right. Or is the whole idea of being fully grown maybe a bit more, well, complicated?
We go through life aiming for this. This thing called adulthood, right? Like it's a final destination.
Mm-hmm. A fixed point.
Yeah, exactly. But what if it's, well, what if it's more like a mirage?
Hmm. Interesting. Go on.
What if how we understand maturity now is going to look, you know, pretty limited, maybe even childlike to people in the future?
That definitely makes you stop and think. It immediately throws the whole meaning of adult into question, doesn't it?
It really does. That question, what adult actually signifies, that's exactly what we're digging into today. Our deep dive takes us right into Chapter 7 of Unraveling the Fabric of Fear.
And it's got a pretty provocative title, The Illusion of Adulthood.
It definitely makes you stop and think.
Right. And for those who've been following along, you'll know we've already looked at things like living in the now, the blame cycle.
Honing ego, self-worth, yeah. All those foundational ideas. And this chapter, The Illusion of Adulthood, it really builds on all of that.
It absolutely does. It takes those concepts and looks at them through the lens of maturity, what we think it means to be grown up.
Yeah, we want to look at their alternative view, what it means for growth, and how it links back to those core psychological ideas. You know, fear, blame, ego, self-worth, that we've touched on in past deep dives using this material.
Okay, let's unpack this. So the chapter kicks off by looking at definitions. Always a good place to start.
Right.
It checks the dictionary. Adult, fully grown or mature. Child, lacking experience or understanding. Or, you know, innocent, naive.
And straight away you think, are we ever psychologically fully grown?
Exactly.
And to frame that psychological angle, the source brings up a few key concepts it wants us to keep in mind. First, cultural relativism.
Right, the idea that our culture, our upbringing, heavily shapes our beliefs, our norms, what we think is normal.
Mm-hmm. Then there's cognitive bias.
How that conditioning can sometimes lead us down paths that aren't entirely logical, even if they feel right within our own cultural bubble.
Well, precisely. And the third one is localized perception versus systems perception.
Okay, what's the difference there?
Think of localized as seeing just your little piece of the puzzle, maybe relying on gut feeling or assumptions, like, you know, seeing the sun move across the sky.
Right, because that's what it looks like from here.
Yeah, whereas systems perception is trying to zoom out, see the bigger picture, all the interconnected parts, understanding it's the Earth's rotation that makes the sun appear to move. It's about grasping the whole system.
Got it.
This is where it gets really interesting. They take that phrase fully grown and ask, psychologically, are we ever truly fully grown?
Hmm.
And it brings in biology, which I found fascinating.
Yeah.
It points out our potential for understanding, for making new connections. It doesn't just stop.
Uh-huh. Neurogenesis, the ability to create new neurons that continues throughout life.
Right, unless there's illness or, well, death, obviously. So our physical brain keeps having the capacity to learn.
Which makes you wonder, doesn't it? If the hardware keeps upgrading, why would the psychological software just freeze at adulthood? Seems a bit arbitrary.
Which leads right into their next point. Maturity itself, or what we think of as adult understanding, is actually a relative concept. Think back generations ago, people considered wise, mature adults might have genuinely believed the Earth was flat.
Right, or that bad smells cause disease.
Exactly. By today's standards, we'd see that understanding as, well, quite naive, almost childlike in terms of knowledge.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Now flip it. Project hundreds of years into the future. What will those people think of our current grasp of physics or consciousness or the universe? Probably pretty basic, right?
Yeah, likely quite childlike from their perspective. So the source's point is?
The key point is pretty profound. If there's this endless, unfulfilled potential for deeper understanding, this constant possibility for learning, does that state of lacking full understanding ever truly end?
Meaning, in that sense, do we ever really stop being children, psychologically speaking?
And this perspective then leads them to look critically at certain behaviors.
Okay, like what?
Well, the source points out something quite striking. How often do we see respected figures, adults, leaders, and communities proudly using blame, putting blame on others?
Happens all the time.
And at the same time, they might downplay the importance of forgiveness. The source suggests this is often done strategically, believing it earns them social points, status among their peers.
Wow. Okay, and if you've been following our deep dives, you can probably see the connections popping up here.
Definitely. Remember the blame cycle from topic two? That whole pattern of choosing victimhood, pointing fingers? It's central.
Yes. And it ties right into owning ego, topic three. That idea of pride consuming us, making forgiveness so hard.
That whole scooping the ego poop concept. The source used the difficult work of letting go of pride and judgment.
And self-worth, topic four too. Seeking social value by putting others down, using blame to feel bigger. It fits that pattern of insecure self-worth perfectly, needing to steal value instead of finding it within.
So the source argues, from this specific psychological lens, using blame like that, avoiding forgiveness, especially when it's for social validation, well, you could argue it's actually quite childlike behavior.
Tied to maybe an undeveloped sense of empathy or interconnectedness.
Perhaps. Oh. Or just not grasping the deeper consequences of holding onto judgment.
And here's where it gets really insightful, connecting this illusion back to other themes from the essay. It suggests that maybe in our society today, the word adult often just signifies, well, how much culturally relative fear conditioning we've piled up.
Oof. Not wisdom or insight, but learned reactions based on our culture's fears.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Remember our deep dive on living in the now? We talk about how fear locks us into automatic patterns.
Mm-hmm.
The essay argues these patterns, built up over years, fear of judgment, fear of failure, fear of not fitting in, they get mistaken for maturity.
Because we've been doing them so long, they feel right. Like, we get it.
But it might just be conditioned fear talking, not real understanding.
Wow.
And we tend to automatically assume older people must be more adult than us, more knowledgeable, less likely to mess up.
Which leads to this fascinating point about empathy. Think about it.
How we treat kids versus adults.
Exactly. We usually have so much more patience, compassion, understanding for kids. If a child makes a mistake, we're generally forgiving.
But when someone we label an adult slips up in a similar way, our tolerance often just plummets.
Yeah, we expect more. We have less patience for what we see as failings in grown-ups.
So the core message here from the book is really powerful. What if? What if we tried to extend that same patience and compassion we give children to everyone?
Including ourselves?
Including ourselves, absolutely. Recognizing that everyone, regardless of age, is still learning, still growing. It could change everything about how we interact.
So this leads to a potentially challenging point. The essay says recognizing this inherent childlike condition, meaning our vast unfulfilled potential, isn't a bad thing.
Right. It's not a weakness. It's actually presented as vital for developing humility and, importantly, curiosity.
It pushes back against our pride, our ego, like we talked about in owning ego.
Yes, but not to make you feel inadequate because you're not finished. It's the opposite, really.
How so?
By letting go of that pressure, the idea that you're supposed to be this fully grown adult who has it all figured out.
You can actually look at where you are right now more clearly, without judgment.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
You see yourself as a being who is always learning, always capable of more understanding. That potential is constant.
So, okay, what does this all mean for you listening right now? If this whole pressure to be a finished adult is maybe built on an illusion?
An illusion that shifts with time and culture?
Then embracing this ongoing childlike potential, as the essay puts it, it offers a totally different way to approach life, doesn't it?
It really does. It changes the goal. It's not a race to some fixed endpoint anymore.
It's more like an adventure, yeah. A continuous journey of discovery.
Exactly. And embracing that childlike freedom, as the essay calls it, could mean shedding some of that mental baggage. Remember, in Living in the Now, we talked about expectations, fear, frustration, anger, guilt.
Yeah, the stuff that weighs us down, often tied to feeling we should be a certain way because we're adults.
If you let go of that should, you create space for genuine curiosity.
You're less afraid of being wrong or admitting you don't know something.
Which is incredibly freeing. It becomes a tool, really, for navigating complexity without the crushing weight of needing to have arrived, needing mm-hmm. to be right all the time.
Okay. Now, the chapter also touches briefly on some religious or spiritual perspectives.
It does. And it's careful to state this isn't about the essay itself being religious.
Right. It's more about showing that these psychological patterns about fear, ego, are potential, like, they aren't brand new discoveries.
Exactly. These themes were recognized and discussed in philosophical and spiritual traditions way before modern science put labels on them. It suggests these are kind of fundamental aspects of the human condition.
So the first page of the chapter gives a few examples relating to this idea of a childlike state and how it connects to not being psychologically finished.
Mm-hmm. It mentions, for example, some Christian ideas, like the need to change and become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Suggesting qualities like humility, openness.
Perhaps. Or that certain truths are revealed to little children, but hidden from the supposedly wise and learned. Again, hinting that accumulated knowledge or status isn't the whole picture.
And then there's a Buddhist perspective from the Dhammapada.
Yeah, contrasting mere age with actual wisdom, saying someone can be old, have gray hair, but be old in vain if they lack understanding.
So maturity isn't just about how many years you've lived.
Definitely not. And he mentions Hindu texts, too, sometimes describing the mind or senses as childlike, needing guidance.
Or the soul, the Atman, as being like a child, pure, innocent, maybe unattached.
Right. And even the idea of this world is family for the Mahapanishad, which might relate to that less separated, more interconnected way a child might perceive things initially.
Before all the social divisions are learned. And finally, a Muslim perspective.
Yes, from Surah Al-Isra, stating, and we have certainly honored the children of Adam. While maybe not directly about staying psychologically childlike, it honors that fundamental state of being. And beyond those, the source mentions others too. The Law of One talks about a perpetual childhood for many beings.
And the Emerald Tablets of Thoth compare consciousness cycles to stages of childhood growth. So across these different traditions, you see this recurring thread.
Recognizing value and qualities often associated with children, like openness, curiosity, a lack of pretense. Not seeing them just as things to grow out of, but maybe as qualities essential for deeper understanding, whether you call it psychological growth or spiritual awareness.
They seem to grasp intuitively that getting older didn't automatically mean you were done developing in the ways that truly matter.
Well put. Let's try and pull this all together.
Yeah.
Just consider for a moment how much of reality, the universe, consciousness, even our own minds, we as a species are still completely, utterly ignorant about, even with all our amazing science.
It's vast.
Doesn't that perspective kind of make all of us, every single person, no matter our age or achievements or status?
Fundamentally, like children just learning to walk in this enormous unknown playground. If that pressure, you sometimes feel the pressure to be a fully grown adult, have it all figured out, always be in control, if that's based on a shifting cultural illusion,
right.
Then what changes if you lean into your ongoing childlike potential instead?
Right.
What if the real goal isn't to be an adult, but to embrace the freedom of never quite arriving? It's about letting go of that pride that whispers, I know enough.
And instead, opening ourselves up to the endless journey of discovery.
And maybe here's the final thing to chew on. Could this constant striving for adulthood, as our culture defines it, actually be holding us back?
Holding us back from real learning, from deeper connection.
Yeah, and maybe, just maybe, embracing that inner child, the curious learning part of us, is the real key to growing throughout our entire lives.
Remember, relative to what's left to discover about reality, we're tiny infants who can barely walk, so stay curious, dive deeper.